If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Shock defeat at the hands of the rebuilding Hawks, asking too much of too few, constant selection questions. The noise continues to grow louder and louder at the Dogs, but when does it become too loud for Luke Beveridge? Glenn McFarlane will join me coming up to discuss the trials and tribulations at Witten Oval, plus a bit of contract news out of the D's. And Richmond fans were howling at the G on Sunday over umpiring decisions, but how much of it was an aberration and how much is a trend of ill discipline the Tigers need to tighten up? John Ralph's written on just that, and he'll join me as well. But let's get into it with Glenn McFarlane. And here on the Herald Sun Footy Podcast, we're joined by Glenn McFarlane. G'day, Macca.
Andy, how are you?
I'm good, mate. I'm going well. The Dogs aren't going
well. They're not. And it's a concern, isn't it, going forward?
It really is.
You look at their list and you think, why are they not entrenched in the eight? But again, I will say that I'm not sure their list is as good as a lot of people keep talking it up. Everyone's talking it up as it's a top four list. They've got a couple of really, they've got two outstanding players. Mm-hmm. One of them's got concussions issues at the moment, Tom Liberatore, and Marcus Bontempelli might be the best Bulldog I've ever seen.
I rate him as, if not the best, then in the top two or three players of the competition. And you even saw that on the weekend.
Absolutely.
The way when he gets clear and the way that he uses the ball is second to none. And yet they lose to a Hawthorn team that many had in the bottom two for the year.
Well, I reckon after 2.5 minutes, I thought, how far is this going to be for the Bulldogs? This is the win that they probably needed. And then Hawthorn, just strategically as a team, just linked a lot better together than the Bulldogs. And that was alarming. And that's the point I try to make. I think they've got two A-plus graders, the Bulldogs. And then there's a few players who are good players. English, Treloar, Norton, Jones, Richards, Jamara. You look at like a Bailey Dale. Cody Waitman's not playing at the moment. Then I think I wouldn't say it falls off a cliff, but there's some players there that are struggling. And all the pressure's on Luke Beveridge, let's be honest. There's so much pressure on Luke at the moment. He's got a contract to the end of next year. If the way things are keep going, we don't think he's going to get to that in that sense. But I put a little bit back on the players. I'm not sure how well they're going at the moment either.
Well, the problem is, I guess, how do you sell to your fans that there were passages of play, as you said, early and even in the third quarter when they kicked three goals on
There's a spark,
the trot,
isn't there?
When they get going, they are unstoppable and almost look like they're playing against witches' hats. And yet, they lose. Because, and you know, there are skill errors and there are times when players don't bend down or they seem not to bend down, you know, far enough and pick up the ball, goes through their legs, whatever it is.
Yeah.
How do you explain that other than, you know, a disconnect?
Yeah, well, it's an interesting point. And I do put a bit back on the players. And I liken it a bit, having sat down with Luke Beveridge earlier in the year. I'm not sure he thinks this group is as good as some people think it is. You know, some people think it is as well. And that's why he's tried to change a few little things here and there. And whether that's working or not, you sort of almost liken it a bit to a golfer who's decided to change their swing a little bit. And that's what's changed a little bit with the Bulldogs. They have changed some things and it's put some senior guys offside because they're not, you know, a few of them have not played and whatever happens to them at the end of this year, we still don't know. We won't ask Sam Draper. He's had enough issues with that anyway, hasn't he? But, I think, you know, there's clearly a lot of pressure on Luke Beveridge. There's clearly a lot of pressure on the Dogs, but I think the players get away with it a little bit. And you look at, they play Richmond this week. If they lose to Richmond this week, then there'll be some real issues because then they've got a month of really tough footy. GWS, Sydney, Collingwood, and I think it might be Brisbane then. So it's a really difficult sort of patch you lose a stretch of those games and you're not playing finals. And then does a decision, does Luke make the decision? Do the club make a decision in that sense as well?
Can Luke make a decision? Like, I understand, you know, he's a very thoughtful guy. You know, he's probably very selfless in his role.
He is, absolutely.
But we've seen coaches have those sort of like success blinkers and the idea that I can bring this club back. You know, you look at Stan Elves in the 90s, you know, he coached them to finals, the Saints to finals, and yet he'd lost
almost got him a premiership. He didn't. And so having spoken to Luke earlier this year, he said, it'll never get to that stage when I lose the players. I'll walk away. He basically said that. And he's an incredibly selfless person. And I'm not necessarily thinking that he's thinking he's the only man that's going to get them there. I think he's thinking we've got to get this football club there. This football club will forever be a part of his heart. He's one of two coaches in history to coach him. Yeah. You don't get many premiership coaches. I think that's the thing we all sort of forget about in a lot of ways, and it's easy to damn him, and they have underperformed. There's absolutely no doubt. Can they turn it around? They've got to do it really quickly, I think, Andy, or else there'll be change.
Yeah, there has to be, I think. I mean, and also you forget that 2021 season. Yes, they lost a grand final by 80 points, but they were 19 points in front halfway through the third quarter.
I'd almost called the game. I thought it was over. Yeah. I tipped the Demons, Zach, and they were on fire. It was the closest 80 point game I've ever seen in my entire life, I think. Yeah. Well, and you think about that. They were extraordinary in that season to do what they did, and it hasn't been the same since. Can they get it back? Gee, we're going to find out really quickly now.
But that, and also the other thing that is probably a plus in Bevo's column is that they won the flag in 2016. Mm. That's 5 years later that they played in that final. It's now another three. So, you know, does he have that third go?
Correct. And it's hard. Some guys can't have an extra go, a second go. Some guys have some success and that's it. So I think whatever happens, he'll coach somewhere else. He's an exceptional coach. So there'll be others, you know, and I heard someone say the other day, having a crack at the Dogs about, you know, recontracting him when they did. Like, he was not far off coming off a grand final performance. Mm. Like, that's not that long ago when you look at it in a COVID season. So I think he's an exceptional coach. Whether he's the right coach now for this Western Bulldogs team, that remains to be seen. But, you know, I'd be surprised if he does move, you know, if he does move on this year, I'd be surprised if someone down the track doesn't have another crack with Luke Beveridge, because he's an exceptional coach.
He is. And it's a wait and see. Well, big game against Richmond, as
massive.
You said. Yes, they've got a lot of injuries.
Massive.
Yes, they had a big loss against Frio. But, gee, if, you know, the Dogs got knocked off by Hawthorn. No one expected it. If they get knocked off by Richmond, it is...
Then the heat goes up to a new level. You look at Richmond's really struggling at the moment. You feel for Adam Uze and his role there. So they're really struggling. So that's when the torch will be a little stronger.
Yeah, watch this space. Glenn McFarlane, we're going to take a break and we'll come back with a little bit of Moneyball.
I'm Andrew Rule, the host of the podcast A Life in Crimes. Here are some of the things that we've been talking about the last few weeks. The brutal truth is that when you start looking at it, they always kill or injure a lot more than each other.
The professional hitman used to be a professional hitman.
Evil strikes in all forms, but particularly as stupidity. Life in Crimes is available wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back with Glenn McFarlane and Macca. The D's had a great...
Ooh, I mean, you're excited, aren't you? I can feel
excited.
It. I can feel the...
It was a big win on Saturday
big
night.
Big win. I was lucky enough to be there. And they were outstanding, weren't they? They were really good and probably underrated them a little. Like the week before, I think the game before the Anzac Eve game, I half torched them in an analysis piece saying how badly they played early. Yeah. Gee, they were good last week.
But for a couple of pretty easy misses, they probably had the game put away, you know, halfway through the third quarter.
How do you go from kicking 5-14 to 5 straight?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
Bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, and how does, you know, Jeremy Cameron go missing those two very, very, very gettable shots? But that's behind us, because you had a chance to have a good long chat with Stephen May in the room.
I did, yeah. Outstanding. Really impressive, Stephen May. He's had some issues over his journey. He's had an amazing footy career when you look at it. But the impression that I walk away from that is how much he loves the Melbourne Football Club, how much the Melbourne Football Club has, I wouldn't say given him direction in life, but it's actually given him a sense of purpose and a sense of home. And that's what he's got. He wants to stay there. He's in outstanding form at the moment. Mm. Did a great job on Tomahawk on the weekend. He's got a big one this week coming up. He usually plays against Charlie Curnow, so he's looking forward to that one.
Yeah, okay.
So he's been outstanding. Melbourne's defence, when you look at it, I remember a few people out there saying, gee, they've sold the farm, Melbourne. They've put all their money into key defenders. Why do you spend money on key defenders? Well, Stephen May and Jake Lever, and you can throw in a couple of others in that back half now. That's an outstanding defence. And Stephen May and Jake Lever, they're like an old married couple. They've said that. We're like an old married couple. They're so different. I can't imagine how different they are off the field. But Stephen May wants to stay. He's got a contract till the end of next year. Mm-hmm. He's super keen to stay at Melbourne. He thinks there's more premierships in store there for Melbourne. And he's actually taken a few of the younger Demon defenders under his wing, so which I think is a good thing. You might not have always said that, Andy, but I think it's a good thing.
Well, the other thing is he was captain of the Gold Coast Suns. So they, yep. you know, at a young age. So they obviously saw leadership that, it, yeah. that he's showing. Yeah, it always, as a Melbourne supporter, seeing, mm. you know, the social media and the different sort of aspects of the club, it's always seemed like Melbourne is that cause or the family that he just really, you know,
yes,
came
absolutely.
To. Because he, you know, being from the Northern Territory and playing on the Gold Coast, you know, coming to a footy town, mm. playing for Melbourne or playing for any club, but, you know, he's really latched on.
He has, and he loves it too. He really loves the club, and they're going to take a power of beating, I think, a huge game this week. So,
and just a couple of others yeah. in the red and blue, Harrison Petty.
Yeah, really good. Back to a bit of form, gets the coach's vote as well. And, you know, he's going to be a massive watch as we go through the end of this year when you look at what happens. The massive interest from Adelaide last year, yeah. is it going to come again this year? Maybe it's not as strong this year.
Well, he hasn't had the greatest start to the season.
Correct.
But on the weekend, his contested marking, particularly link marking along the wing, was fantastic.
And you look at that, like you look at the Tom McDonald situation, like Harrison Petty showing a bit. Tom McDonald was really good at the other end.
Great.
So he's a watch this space in terms of what yep. I know the Demons are pretty keen to, you know, potentially offer him a little bit more to get him to stay.
Great. And Clayton Oliver.
Oh, how good was this? This could be one of the great stories of the year. We get a guy who we thought, and even Melbourne players thought, Stephen May said, I didn't think he'd play this year. There were stages in the preseason where I didn't think he'd even play. Now he's back to, I wouldn't say his best. He's still got a long way to go to his best, but that was his best performance of the year.
Yeah.
What he's been able to do in that footy club into getting a little bit of trust back has been very important. He had a long way to come back from, and there were some serious conversations, but massive tick for the way things are going at the moment. Melbourne's culture gets a, quite rightly in some stages, gets a bit of a whack, but what they've done with Clayton Oliver to bring him back on track is a different, which I think doesn't get the credit, and they put a lot of time and effort into him.
And just last one, without notice, Caleb Windsor is this week's rising star.
Oh, yeah. He's good. He's very good. I think that's the thing about Melbourne. We wanted to see some young kids come through, and that's what you've got now.
Yeah.
You had Disco the week before and Caleb. Caleb's he's playing. He's only just starting to get a little bit of credit for what he's doing now.
Certainly.
But he's been outstanding. I think they've got a lot of young players there that are coming through that are the next generation.
I mean, his running is obviously a highlight.
Yeah.
But that the chase down tackle on Tom
massive,
Atkins.
Massive.
And then to kick the goal after missing an easier one in the third quarter was, as a supporter, that warms your heart, definitely.
Well, it does. And I think, you know, we know that they've got a really good senior core. But what I think is different about Melbourne now this year is the kids coming through.
Sure.
I think there's a real massive tick for the development. Even with Choco there, he does a good job. They love him there, Choco.
Oh, we all love Choco. Macca, thanks so much for your time.
Good on you. Thanks, Andy.
And here on the Herald Sun Footy Podcast, we're joined by John Ralph. Ralphie, g'day.
Great to be with you.
So, you wrote about the free kick count at Richmond.
Mm-hmm. It's a vexing topic, it must be said, Andy.
It has been for a while. Yeah. And through their premiership years, you know, it was sort of always written off as, well, they go hard. You know, they go harder than other teams. But now, I mean, the numbers, it can't be a coincidence.
No, it's not all bad luck. You know, I was there watching them, get overrun in the end by Fremantle there. And, you know, I threw it out on Twitter as a, you know, it was almost a bad old 90s. The Richmond fans didn't love that. But, it was a, you know, probably a third full MCG. The Richmond Grohl squad was going nuts. The team wasn't that good. Yeah, we're in another rebuilding, rejigging, renovating phase. So I thought, okay, I'll drill into those free kicks. And so, look, I think the last couple of years, absolutely. They played a stoppage-based game where they basically didn't always win the first possession. They were a swarming, tackling team. You know, they were really aggressive in terms of their, you know, forward defence. And so you're going to give away push in the back sort of free kicks. Look, let's separate the weekend where there was just some really, really bad calls,
mm-hmm.
even though Laura Kane, the AFL's football boss, you know, wouldn't acknowledge that, with, I think, what the trends are. And the trends are that, yeah, this is a team that has been ill-disciplined. So even in this year alone, we've seen Shai Bolton's given away 3 50-metre penalties. That is just unacceptable. You know, Adam Uzay doesn't seem too stressed about it all. He's got so many other issues as well. But I've got an undersized backline that is pushing the line. They've got an undersized forward line that is, you know, having to throw their weight around because no one like Tom Lynch is out there to just jump purely at the ball. They've got, you know, a lion-hearted captain in Toby Nankervis who gives away second or third most free kicks in the comp. And so as much as, you know, some of that has been the rub of the green, over 3 years, it can't just be the noise of affirmation. It can't just be the rub of the green. It's got to be something Richmond has to actually acknowledge and say, we are an ill-disciplined team and our technique in terms of our tackling players is just not good enough. Now, as I say, they've got so many other issues there that, you know, it's probably the sixth or seventh priority, but it was bad luck on the weekend, but it was also players like Thompson Dow just dropping the ball and not having due care to think the whistle's blown before the siren. I have to give that ball back to Sean Darcy, or he's going to get a 50-metre penalty against Richmond.
But is it the fact that, I mean, free kick counts, we're always told free kick counts don't matter because, you know, it's what happens on the field and umpires play, you know, decision to decision.
Yep.
You know, they're not favouring either team. The weekend's game was an aberration, wasn't it?
So yeah, absolutely, it was an aberration. Yeah, but so this is why this is not just dumb luck. Because if you look at this year's stats, for instance, Carlton's plus 32 differential, so they're the number one team in terms of earning free kicks. Essendon is plus 29. Well, that's all fine. Geelong, for instance, is third last. Well, they're a successful team. But so you break down the trends and you actually realise that clubs are very good at very specific things. So Essendon, they've got the edge. They're tackling. Mm-hmm. They're trying to be aggressive with the ball carrier. So they're plus 17 in holding the ball decision. So Zach Merritt, we've all seen, you know, two of them against Sydney. Extraordinary chase down tackles, including one against Tom McCartan for a goal. So he's won six free kicks for Archie Perkins, who's lifted his defensive work, plus five. You look at Collingwood. What has Craig McRae repeatedly said the last couple of years? Amazing tackling numbers, plus 30 in the last couple of weeks. So they're a plus 15 differential for holding the ball. Braden Maynard, plus 5. Scotty Penderbury and Tom Mitchell, plus 4. Carlton, which is a side which with elite forwards who get pushed around a lot. They're plus 16 for the high tackle free kicks. They're all very specific numbers that are sheeted home to the way they play. So Richmond would be smart to think, let's get our act together. Let's not just whinge about umpires.
And, I mean, once upon a time, when before there was a 50-metre penalty, clubs wised up and used that 15-metre penalty. We're talking the 80s now, but they used it as a tactical, you know, a way to slow the game down, a way to reset.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure clubs do it now as well. You know, there were professional free kicks. They them away. And, and Richmond were very good at it when they were very good because you said they, you know, they used their aggression.
Yep.
To win three premierships.
Yeah, no doubt. I think the really interesting thing will be Steve McBurney, who's the new umpire's boss, of course, the AFL umpiring legend. He got his feet under the desk last Monday. So what are the priorities for him? Now, you know, I might ask some clubs about that. We might even write about it for tomorrow's paper. But, you know, we're never going to fix holding the ball. You'd love a more consistent application of holding the ball. And I just keep thinking to myself, if we ever had a preseason game where there was no prior opportunity, whereas if you were pinned with the ball, and you didn't get rid of it, you were given a free kick away. I'd love to see the capacity of players to do that because so often they absorb, they see a second player come into the tackle, they see that getting rid of the ball is not advantageous, and so they pretend they thump their chest or they, you know, are prepared to have their hands tied rather than rip them above their head and handball. So I'd love to see a way in which we have harsher interpretation of it. When a player can get the ball free, Isaac Smith has also said, yeah, he'd love to see the rush behind, not eradicated, but really tightened up. So, you know, your player, it's almost hot potato. On the goal line there, if you are under, you have to be under the most intense pressure for you to allow a rush behind. Not the whole handball it to your mate who fumbles the ball over. I'd love to see that almost like the electric fence. So players on the last line have to use their skill and their daring to not rush the ball, but to interchange of handballs and get the ball out. And then you might, you know, bring some pressure. You might get over the next line of attack or defence rather, and then you might be able to score an end-to-end goal. So there are a couple of things that I think Steve McBurney has to really look at. There's no point in coming in and saying, let's support the umpires. You need to make some changes to lessen some of that extraordinary frustration from fans. It's always going to be there, but I think some of it's really valid as well.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you know, he was a take-no-prisoners umpire, Steve McBurney. Yeah. So hopefully he has the same in his new role. We'll a bit of a watch this space. Thanks,
cheers,
John.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'll do us on this edition of the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. I'm Andy Belez, and my thanks to Glenn McFarlane and John Ralph for joining me. As always, keep an eye out for the latest trade buzz in Moneyball on Wednesday morning. Mick McGuan will have his analysis of Friday night's game that'll be online Thursday at midday, a full suite of Supercoach live blogs from every game online, and then, of course, the unmissable Robbo's Tackle Sunday night. Enjoy your week in footy. We'll catch you next time.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.